As a popular song once said, what a long, strange trip it's been. The last year and a half have been a whirlwind of changes. Ever since the beginning of the pandemic, our lives have been filled with uncertainty and fear. But through it all, we've had those positive moments, moments of hope and optimism, even when we've been struggling.
There's a lot going on right now, but this is actually the best and most important time to sing together.
And from confusion and uncertainty to those exciting moments when we thought, you know, we might just live this thing.
To make a safe vaccine is what we need. I'm betting on early 2021.
But even as we made progress, there were setbacks. The Delta variant threw a monkey wrench into our plans. Long-haul COVID still affects many sufferers. And so many mysteries about this disease leave us frustrated and weary. But for every setback, there's a triumph. And though progress is slow, it's measurable. We are getting back to normal. We've come so far, and we really have so much to be thankful for right now.
It's a beautiful country that understands challenge and obstacle and difficulty and knows how to rise to the occasion.
We take a look back at our long, strange trip as Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and welcome to a special Thanksgiving weekend edition of Fox 11 News In Depth. As we reflect on the last couple of years, you know, it just sort of came out of the blue, didn't it? Hit us like a sledgehammer. COVID-19. And suddenly we were dealing with lockdowns, and we were dealing with empty streets, loneliness, being that feeling of being in a rabbit hole, and a world full of new rules. Children found themselves suddenly sent home from school and told not to come back. But even before Zoom was a term on everyone's lips, the kids were pulling together and figuring out how to keep doing what they loved. For example, this Valencia High School choir.
What will become of me? Who will speak for me? Who will take a stand? The Republic of No Man's Land.
This is a viral video of the Valencia High School Vocal Jazz Ensemble 2 and 4 singing an original composition called Refugee, doing it on Zoom. Now, wait till you hear the backstory on this. Christine Mocha is the director of the choir. Hi, Christine. How you doing? How you feeling?
Hi. Saying hello from quarantine.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. From mine to yours. You know, yes. I'd love to sing along with your students there, but I don't know the words. That's an original song, huh?
Yes, I wrote it in November to talk about the refugee crisis that's happening all over the world.
And so how did you coordinate this video? I mean, this thing seems to be taking off online.
You know, the great thing about coming together like this is they actually had an idea. Can we do this virtual online performance? Because we're not going to be able to go to any of our competitions or probably perform it in the spring. So I spoke with my husband, who helped me work with a couple programs, and the students sang into their iPhone, and we figured out how to do this together. And I'm so thankful because those kids have worked so hard. And if this is the way that we have to sing together, then we're going to sing. You know, there's a lot going on right now, but this is actually the best and most important time to sing together.
We have video of your students in better times rehearsing. And as we look at that, I want to ask you a question about Governor Newsom this week saying that we all ought to plan on no school this year and distant learning. You're a teacher. How do you feel about this idea that for the rest of the school year, the governor would like to see us all do distance learning?
Well, the hardest thing for our students is that being together in a choir class, doing stuff online is incredibly hard because our instrument is actually being together, the sound of the choir together. However, we recognize that if we have to wait to do that, that our lives are at stake here, we will wait it out and sing through it. And then when we finally can come together, that day will be so sweet. But we will eventually come back together. Even if it goes past June or July, we're going to try and do something together as a group.
I want to ask you about something, because you and your group have had a really difficult year with the Tick Fire and the Saugus High School shooting incident out there. Talk to me about that for a second, how tough this has been on your students.
Many of my students lost friends at Saugus, but it was incredibly connected with us because that school is 2 miles away from us. And in fact, one of our past graduates, who is now the choral director at Saugus High School, experienced it firsthand. The resiliency of the Saugus High students and the Valencia High students and us coming together, this has been the hardest year, but I've really been able to see who my students are. And
Caitlin and some of those students have been on this program, but it wasn't just that. It was the Tick Fire that got you as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, we lost school days. Some of the students had a house burn on their street, and it just affected so many of the students with not actually being able to live on that street for a while. So it's just been one thing after another where we've lost days upon days. And, you know, we keep saying this is going to be the hardest year, and I'm like so grateful and thankful of your resiliency to get through this. And then another thing happens. And so it's really taught me as a teacher that the point is just to be there. Say, okay, now this has happened and this is the next thing we have to do to get through this. And they're inspiring me. I'm blown away. I don't know if
well,
I
all
could
of
handle
you,
this one
all of
in
you,
high school.
All of you are inspiring me. So, you know, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Take care of those kids. Take care of yourself. And our regards to every one of those students, and we'll keep watching them online. Hopefully there'll be some more music to come out from them. Thank you so much, Christine.
You can
Good
count
talking
on
with
it.
You.
Thank you.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we take a look back on those helping to pull us out of this pandemic and show you more of what we have to be thankful for. We'll be right back. As time went on, we came to realize that this pandemic wasn't a one-night thing, and we were going to have to live with it for a while. We learned how to wear masks. We learned how to wash our hands. We learned how to use sanitizer. We learned all kinds of things, and we watched as heroes emerged. Let's start with vaccine testers. Okay, now, Ray and Steve, you signed up to be part of this Pfizer vaccine trial. So let's start with Ray, and why did you do that? And then let's get Steve's answer right after you.
Well, Hal, you know, I really thought I should, you know, try to do something to help with the process of finding a vaccine, just because, without guys like me, this isn't going to happen. So I saw a friend of mine had posted on Facebook that she was part of a clinical trial. So I thought, let's give it a shot. Even though my wife was, trying to talk me out of it, you know, because here we are in the middle of a pandemic. We're doing everything we can to avoid any sort of exposure. And here I am deciding I'm going to shoot a little bit of this virus into my veins. And if I grow a third arm, what the hell? So I went in August 28th for the first injection and had no problem. September 18th, I had a second injection and had a big problem. Suddenly, I had muscle aches, fatigue, and just a horrible reaction. Stomach pain that felt like a urinary tract infection, and I thought, great. So this is what's going to take me down. But
did they say that this was a direct result of the vaccine that you were taking?
They thought it probably was, although they're not sure themselves because they're not sure how this thing is working. Plus, I could have gotten the placebo. You know, I could have gotten a saline solution as easily as I got the actual real thing. But so either I got the real thing or I'm a complete head case and I manufactured it in my head.
All right. Well, Steve, what about you? I mean, what kind of experience have you had? And have you had any reactions?
Mine was much more serendipitous. I just saw it popped up on my Facebook timeline, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, that's something I could do. And then I thought about, well, is it more dangerous than it's worth? And I thought, well, the risk of any vaccine has to be less than the danger of COVID. And it does pay something. It pays your expenses. So it seemed like a good idea. It seems like something that would be helpful. It also, in a selfish sense, seemed like something that might immunize me against the disease.
Did you at all have any kind of an adverse reaction, Steve?
No. You go in the first time, and as like Ray said, I think I went in on August 18th, and they do an extensive blood test. They give you a corona test, take a lot of blood. And you have to wait for the blood to process. It's a pretty lengthy process the first time, but I had no reaction at all. I don't know if I got the vaccine or the placebo.
I wanted to take a minute to thank Ray and Steve for really being heroes of this huge project and volunteering their bodies for this. That's exactly what we need at this time. But in terms of a vaccine, exactly this work that's going on to make a safe vaccine is what we need. I'm betting on early 2021. We're going to need thousands of patients, up to 30,000 patients in each trial.
And, you know, as it turned out, Dr. Matt Waxman was absolutely right about that prediction. Well, during the pandemic, victims of the virus reached out to others who were suffering to share stories. And one woman set up a website to share those stories. Here's hers.
Diana Barrett is the creator of a Survivor Corps. That's the name of this grassroots movement to help the long haulers help each other. So we welcome Diana to this Fox 11 News In Depth. Thank you so much for being with us. I understand that you battled COVID-19 yourself, Diana. Is that, in fact, what inspired you to start this grassroots movement?
Yeah, so I was one of the first people to get a confirmed diagnosis of COVID back in early March of last year, when the tests were very, very hard to get and often unreliable. So with that confirmed case, I was in isolation for 18 days, and I had a lot of time to think. And at that point, we really thought that you either survived or you died. And we had no idea that there would be such thing as long-term COVID at that point. And I realized also that there were so many mysteries of this virus that were only going to be unlocked by studying people like me, our blood, our experiences. And so I started Survivor Corps on March 24th of last year with the mission of mobilizing an army of survivors to donate their plasma and support science in every way possible. It wasn't until about a month later that we started to really realize that people were not recovering. And so obviously, you know, we've been set out to work with the scientific and medical community from the beginning to help others, but we ended up having to also help ourselves.
Here we are a year later. Do you have any lingering symptoms yourself?
I'm very, very lucky. I still have some headaches. I still have some deep inner ear pain. I was diagnosed with COVID onset glaucoma over the summer, and I was hospitalized about a month and a half ago with a mysterious abscess in my jaw muscle that does not look bacterial, and most of the doctors assume is COVID related, but until it's biopsied, it's yet another one of these medical mysteries. That said, I am a better spokesperson for this group than I am an example,
right?
Because most people in our group who are suffering are really suffering. We're talking about people in their 20s and 30s who were college athletes and personal fitness trainers and really at the height of their lives and health, who after a mild case of COVID, months later are in wheelchairs and on feeding tubes and wearing heart monitors all day. I mean, the damage that we're seeing is quite serious. It's really devastating. I don't want anyone to chalk it up to a post-viral fatigue.
Okay.
It is much more serious than that.
Absolutely. But you talk about the story that you really want to get out there, and that is of monoclonal antibodies. What are those, and how significant are they?
So monoclonal antibodies, it sounds very complicated. Let's call it the Trump treatment. This is the same monoclonal antibody cocktail that everyone was talking about that was given to President Trump and to Governor Christie and to Rudy Giuliani and likely saved all of their lives. And it was miraculous, and it is now available. And it is free if you qualify. And by qualify, that means anyone over the age of 65 and anyone from the age of 12 up who has a high BMI or any other pre-existing conditions. And the incredible thing is that, you know, this is not just for the rich and famous. This is available to every American. And while these vaccines are incredible and, you know, but not everybody has had an opportunity yet to be vaccinated, and people are still getting infected with COVID every day. And the miracle of this, of these monoclonal antibodies, is that if you are given them early enough, and so when I say that, really within 3 days of diagnosis, if possible, although you can get them for 10 days after diagnosis, you want to take them while you're still feeling good so that you stay feeling good. By the time you get to the emergency room, it's too late. You can't receive them anymore. And not only will it likely save your life, but it will also probably keep you from developing long-term COVID.
Marla, thanks for that interview with Diana. And let's not forget all those volunteers, people that went door to door trying to get the information to people about the importance of vaccines. Many of those people distrustful. Here's some of their story.
Lately, the effort has been extremely successful in the areas that we have been working in the last 2 months. The vaccine rate was 25%, and now the vaccine rate is above 75% because of the work that we have done in partnership with LA Works and other nonprofit organizations.
All right, Joe, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, Hal. Thank you so much for inviting us onto the show to talk about this really important subject. We're really, it's a great opportunity to let people know what's going on. So I am a volunteer coordinator with LA Works. LA Works is, if you're not already familiar, is a volunteer action center in Los Angeles that has been working particularly in the volunteer with the vaccinations. Our volunteers are going out into the community to inform residents around mobile and pop-up vaccination sites about the clinic, just to let them know, like kind of like information ambassadors, bringing information about like where the vaccination site is, what time the vaccines are going to be available, and what vaccines are available as well, and any other resources and incentives that that we want to let people know about.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we remember those who lifted us up with their gifts and their indomitable spirits. We'll be right back. Now we look back at people who lifted us up with their spirit during some very dark times. One of those people, Stan Cottrell. Stan set out to run from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. in 100 days. Oh, and did we mention he just turned 78 years old? Here's his story.
You're doing this to spread kindness. You do this and you help charities. So let's talk about the charitable element to this.
Well, my whole entire running and running across 40 different nations, including the Great Wall of China and a lot of these countries, I've been back two and three times and have done the same run over and over and over. But the one thing that I've noticed that with my running, there was a time I just wanted to run to get my name in the record books, and what an empty existence. But when I was doing these runs, people were waiting on the side of the road. Can you stop and say hi? Can we get a picture with you? And schools would turn out. Would you talk to our students? Would you just say something inspiring to them? And I said, my God, what a medium to promote friendship, because friendship is that beautiful concept that means coming together in thought, heart, and spirit. And so what I do, it's like that spirit of recess when we were in elementary school. I run and it takes on the embodiment of recess, and people come out and they park all their junk, and they come out and we play together, and somehow the world seems to be a better place as a result.
And coming full circle with our gratitude, we look back to a story we did, an interview with a person who lifted us up with their music. His name, Thomas Wilkins, the principal conductor of the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. He shared what it was like to return to the stage after so many months of lockdown.
You know, it's funny that you would say that, because I was standing in the wings about to come out for the first time, and I thought to myself, holy cow, I haven't felt this in over a year. And I was just standing there waiting to go out. And even that felt special to me. And I knew we were back at that moment.
Well, as somebody who was in the audience, and I got to tell you, dancing at my seat a little bit, too, I felt that enthusiasm. And it felt to me like people were finally glad to get out the door, finally glad to be amongst other people. Did you get that sense yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the minute that, in fact, even when we got to orchestra rehearsal, even the orchestra on stage, they were early getting the rehearsal, and they were warming up early, and they were excited to be making music together again. And sure enough, you could feel the energy from backstage of just the people in the house. And the minute that we walked out on stage, I mean, they erupted. They felt as if, okay, now we're back. Now this is real. This is not our imagination.
How was this for the members of the orchestra? I mean, they've been cooped up for, what, 15 months themselves?
Yeah. I mean, finally, we are making music not in front of a Zoom camera, you know, or teaching a lesson in front of a Zoom camera. And, you know, music is a communal experience. We need to be together around this thing called entertaining. And we enrich each other when we're that close together. And so we feed off of each other. The energy goes back and forth. And it was just a delicious treat to be back together on that stage.
We'll be back with more to be thankful for right after this. On a personal note, I have a lot to be grateful for this year. About 8 months ago, photographer Joab Perez and I were on assignment. We were working on a sidewalk in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard, and suddenly we were struck by an SUV, the driver of which has been charged with driving under the influence. It could have been so much worse. It could have been deadly. That's what the police and the firefighters said. But after months of rehab and months of hospitalization, Joab and I are back at work doing what we love. I want to express my gratitude to the doctors and the nurses and the therapists who got me back up on my feet. And I want to thank all of you for being supportive then and continuing to be supportive now. And thank you for watching Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Have a good week. See you next time.